Welcome back to the Sports Zone, everyone. Keith Kelly here with you. We are going to talk some football with Rich Ackerman. He is the host of Ion College Football and Ion Football all weekend long here on KFBC, CBS Sports Radio. Rich, it is certainly a pleasure to visit with you, man. How are things going?
Things are great, Keith. Glad to be with you.
Let's dive right in. Talk a little college football first, because the week three of the college football playoff committee's rankings come out, and a lot of shakeup there at the top four. I think the top four teams are right. I don't know how you feel about that, but do you feel like the order right now, the way things are sitting, any complaints about what the committee threw out yesterday?
No, I was right on par with all of them. I thought this is the way it should be ranked, 1 through 4, and even Wisconsin and Auburn 5, 6, and then you take Georgia 7, Notre Dame is a distant 8. I think the top 7, still everybody's very much alive, and then you have Ohio State at number 9 lurking. While they're not really in the mix, they're not exactly out of it, in my opinion.
It's interesting. People are all freaking out. It's interesting to follow Twitter after these rankings, because there's the freak-out factor that goes on all across the country with every fan base. But the freak-out factor with Ohio State on the cusp of possibly getting – I just don't buy it right now with 2 losses, one of them to a team that's already in the top 4. I just don't buy Ohio State as a viable candidate right now unless craziness ensues.
Yeah, the second loss is the big one, because it's not so much the loss, and it was on the road, but it was the margin and the way they looked in the second half of that game. They were completely overwhelmed. They had no idea what hit them, and they didn't know how to get out of it. I mean, they just sunk further and further. Now, again, I thought in that loss to Iowa, I thought a big moment was when Nick Bosa was ejected for targeting, and they just never recovered. That game was never the same after that, and I think that they just couldn't figure out a way out. But I think when you take a look at that, Auburn's 2 losses, in terms of the score, it was a close game at Clemson, and they were leading LSU 20-0 when they somehow found a way to blow that game, but they still have a 3-point loss to a solid conference opponent. So, you take those 2 losses versus Ohio State's 2 losses, and they look a lot better.
I mentioned, fans and their opinions of each week's poll. It just goes to show you, and I'm sure you get this too, college football fan bases, especially these teams that we're talking about, are insane, right? I mean, there's no other way to put it. They're insane.
Yep. Fanatics.
Yeah, fan is short for fanatic right now. What was last week like for you, being in studio, knowing all these big games are coming up, following all these games on a Saturday, which was probably the biggest Saturday we've had in college football in some time? I mean, it was an epic weekend. I know the games didn't quite live up to it, but, man, for you, being in that studio had to have been a lot of fun, right?
Oh yeah, and I'm a big fan of the games during the daytime. So when you see a good game on a Saturday afternoon, to me that is really what kind of floats my boat. I was very much looking forward to the Notre Dame Miami game, and that did not work out very very well at night. But I wish and coaches have been clamoring for this year, more of a return to the daytime game. Yeah, there's some romance tonight, but I think there are just too many of them. I really love get that sun on a Saturday afternoon, and I think that's what it's all about, and for me growing up, it was noon Eastern and 3:30 Eastern. You'd usually start whether it was Penn State at noon or you got an Oklahoma game or Notre Dame one way or the other. You had something. There weren't, games on TV when I was growing up weren't as prevalent as they are now, but you usually got something from the it was back then, it was the Big 8, Big 8 or the Big 10 at noon, and then you maybe got it was also the Pac-8 and then the Pac-10 back then. You got one of those at 3:30 or 4 o'clock Eastern time, and I used to love those games. I mean, again, when it was in the daytime, it was great.
I'm with you there. I grew up in Oklahoma, and I'm totally down with those afternoon games and everything like that. So I know it's interesting. That's something we've been talking about on our show, Rich, is the time. I mean, I get it. We are in the Mountain West, it's low on the totem pole, but with their TV contract, it's a lot of money for them, $1.1 million, and they're playing late at night or Friday nights, and it's hurting attendance. It's got people here talking about, getting rid of ESPN or CBS Sports Networks and going to some other outfit or streaming and having afternoon games. But it would take like 4,500 tickets extra to sell to make up that $1.1 million. It's quite a dichotomy here in terms of kickoff times and versus getting the payday of playing on TV.
Yeah, and I think, too, I think there are two other things you have to consider. Number one, you know, teams that go on the road and they play on a Saturday night, by the time they get home, I mean, Sunday's almost a lost day. Mm-hmm. And then you get the fact that, and what I mean by lost day is lost day for everybody, basically. You know, whether it's doing schoolwork, getting treatment, whatever it is, it's kind of tough to regroup after that. And we've seen the residual effect of teams playing the next week, you know, after games like that. And the other part of it, I think the fans. I think that, you know, in so many places, and again, you growing up in Oklahoma would know this, is that, you know these teams mean everything, and people gear their whole Saturdays around them. And by the time you get to 7 o'clock or 7:30 local time Saturday night, you know, it's not quite the same. I mean, you're settling in to watch the game, but it just does not have the same type of feel to it as, you know, if you get up on a Saturday morning, you can't wait to get to the game, or you're tailgating at the game, whatever it may be. I think it takes a little away from it.
Rich Ackerman, our guest, host of the Eye on College Football, Eye on Football as well this weekend, CBS Sports Radio. Rich, are you buying Miami now after just dismantling Notre Dame? I mean, we were waiting for Miami to show us something, and the last couple weeks they have. Is Miami the real deal to you?
I think they are. I think they are. You know, I think you'd have to think that after what they've shown the last 2 weeks. Now, if you want to say the caveat is they've done it both at home, Hard Rock Stadium has become a pretty tough place to play now for opponents, but the new configurations of after the renovations, it gets very loud, it's hot, it's humid, and the fans have really responded not only to the renovations of the stadium, but also the fact that the team has really made tremendous strides in two seasons under Mark Richt. So I do believe in them. You know, are they beatable? Yes, but that defense has been terrific, and what, you know, Travis Homer has done in relief of the injured Mark Walton Jr. has been tremendous. He's been able to steady that ship and take some pressure off Malik Rozier. So I definitely buy them. They're well coached. They have a lot of talent defensively, and as long as they could stay away from turning the ball over, I'd give them a shot against anybody.
What dream matchup would you want to see with this year's crops of teams in a championship game? What matchup is it that you would like to see?
I think it still remains to be seen. I'm not really sure just yet. You know, we've seen Clemson, Alabama the last 2 years, so, you know, do we want to see that one once again? I wouldn't mind seeing a Miami team in there. And the other question is, can anybody beat Alabama again? They're always the guy wearing the black hat. Everybody always wants to knock them off. They're the team that's easy to, you know, that everybody would love to hate. So, you know, can we see a Miami Alabama? That would be nice. And it'll also be fun to see Miami in Oklahoma.
Oh yeah.
You know, you have Baker Mayfield, who is, in my mind, the College Football Hall of Famer. He certainly has locked up the Heisman Trophy, I think, these last couple of weeks. So, you know, him playing against that Miami defense, that would be fun to watch.
And it would bring back so many good memories for me of those 80s games in the 80s between Barry Switzer, Jimmy Johnson, and Miami owned Oklahoma, but they were always just had so much drama behind them too because of both of the antics and all. I mean, it would be great. It would be great nostalgia, I think.
Absolutely, no question about it. So, and you have, you know, you have Lincoln Riley, who's one of the great up and coming coaches in his first year, doing a great job at Oklahoma, and you have Mark Richt, who is Mr. Consistent.
Rich, switching over to the NFL, our Denver Broncos here are just a disaster. I saw a meme that called them the Denver Browncos, which I thought was pretty funny. But my gosh, what a disaster. From Super Bowl champs to where they are now, I mean, it's just a disaster right now. They are awful, awful to watch.
Well, it starts with the quarterback. And they just have not been able to solidify that spot. Paxton Lynch has not grabbed the reins or not been able to. And they let Brock Osweiler go. He's back, but I don't really think that makes much of a difference. And, you know, Trevor Siemian was good for a little while, but then teams started getting film on him and things changed. So I think everything starts and stops in this league with the quarterback, and that's a huge, huge void they need to fill right now.
Do you think, I mean, people are already clamoring for Vance Joseph job, and I mean, he's coached what, 9 games as a head coach?
Yeah, it's a little early. I think it's tough to really say that, but you know, it's because, you know, the experience factor, and also the fact that they're really struggling at the quarterback spot. So I think you factor those two things in, and you have to be a little patient. He's going to grow, he's going to learn, but I think next year would be the time to see. And if in fact they can make a move and try to shore up that spot, I think those would be the two factors to watch.
And I'm totally with you. I mean, I think we all know it is a quarterback-driven league, and we've got all these aging quarterbacks, but some of this young crop of quarterbacks coming up, and I start with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, you know, took their lumps a little bit last year. Wentz was a lot better than Goff, but seeing these two guys kind of take over the reins and be that next crop of great quarterbacks, man, they are fun to watch, and the Eagles and the Rams are both fun teams to watch, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny, Wentz got off to a slow start last year, and Goff had a miserable rookie season, but those two have just, you know, Wentz kind of teased us with what to expect this year with his finish last year, but he has been outstanding so far. And Goff, I mean, obviously the coaching change has been very, very good for him for a number of reasons, but they also upgraded the talent around him, and that has made him really, really good. I mean, he looks so much more comfortable than he did a year ago. It's night and day. You have to throw out last year almost.
It's amazing when you get a little bit of help around you how much better that makes everybody. It's amazing how that happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely,
yeah.
So. We're seeing that here at Wyoming where Josh Allen lost NFL-caliber guys, and now he's struggling this year. It's the exact same thing at the college level. It's all about surrounding yourself with the right amount of talent.
No question, absolutely. And, you know, if you have a line in front of you as well, that's the most important thing that you have to really have, because you just need the protection, and then you need the players. If guys can't catch the ball, if guys can't run the right routes, then it's a problem.
You hear him every weekend, Saturdays and Sundays, Ion College Football, Ion Football. We've got Rich Ackerman joining us here on the program. Rich, it certainly was a pleasure talking with you. Enjoy the games this weekend. We look forward to hearing you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Keith. Appreciate it. Anytime.